Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Callum Borchers. Senator Bernie Sanders is running for president again on a single-payer health care plan that he calls Medicare for All. Four of his primary opponents have said they support the plan. Senators Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris, Kirsten Gillibrand, and Cory Booker are all co-sponsors. But not all Democrats are on board. On Radio Boston this month, former Maryland Congressman John Delaney said Medicare for All would be a mistake.
I actually think that piece of legislation will make access to health care more limited and won't do anything to control health care costs and in many ways may reduce quality.
Next week, we'll speak with a physician who supports Medicare for All. But today, we're talking with John Kingsdale. He's a professor at the Boston University School of Public Health and was the founding executive director of the Commonwealth Health Insurance Connector Authority, which helped make health insurance universally available in Massachusetts. Welcome to Radio Boston, John Kingsdale.
Good afternoon, Cal.
So you've written an op-ed for the Boston Globe called The Risks of Medicare for All. And I should note that Medicare for All can mean different things to different people, but you begin by referring to the Sanders plan, which would bar employers from offering their own private insurance plans. And you write that the idea is, quote, tantalizing, and yet you're wary of it. So why?
Well, I think at this particular time in our history, there are tremendous risks. I actually do not oppose Medicare for All in theory. In fact, if we could close our eyes and wake up in Canada tomorrow morning, that might be fine. The trick is how to get from here to there. And that essentially entails shifting half of the funding for America's largest economic segment. Sector, about 18% of GDP.
The whole healthcare sector.
The healthcare sector is about 1 in 6 of our gross domestic product. It's literally 1 in 8 jobs are in healthcare. It's bigger than manufacturing or retail as an employer. And shifting half of that funding from private to tax federal funding would cause actually pretty substantial disruption. And in the context of the 2020 election, could have actually disastrous results.
So is it all about the disruption? Like I'm curious if in a vacuum you were creating a country from scratch and designing the healthcare system, are you saying that a Medicare for All single payer style system would be better than the current system that we have, but that the problem is the transition? Or are you saying that actually Medicare for All isn't all it's cracked up to be regardless of the circumstances?
Well, there are certainly problems with Medicare for All. It has its own set of warts. But actually, close to a dozen countries have kind of started from scratch in the last several decades. And about half of them have decided Medicare or a variant of that is a good approach for them. So it has a lot of appeal. It's not synonymous. It's not the only way to get to universal coverage. I think a lot of Americans hear Medicare for All and they equate it with universal coverage. In fact, there's 3 or 4 different models that countries in Europe and in Asia have used to get to universal coverage. My main problem and my main fear at this point is one of a number of good ways to get there, but we have so far to go to get there now that it would be extremely disruptive. And to me, the 800-pound elephant in the room is what it would do to the Democratic prospects in the 2020 campaign. And I'm happy to elaborate on that, but in a sentence, it could turn what has been the number one policy advantage for Democrats, what really helped Democrats take back the House in 2018, into a huge political liability in 2020. And frankly, Republicans are salivating at the prospect of running in 2020 against Medicare for All.
You're saying that sort of saving Obamacare can be a great rallying cry for Democrats, but that if you go farther to what Republicans will call socialized medicine, that you then will hand them a real advantage.
That's exactly it. And I suspect some Republicans will call just preserving and enhancing the Affordable Care Act, or as you call it, Obamacare, socialized medicine. But they won't have much credibility, and they didn't in 2018, and that's easy to rebut. Rebutting that on the case of Medicare for All, which would take about $30 trillion of additional federal taxation to fund over the next decade, is much heavier lift politically, economically, and in terms of its impact on society.
All right. So you mentioned a number of countries that have recently gone to single-payer models. Is there a model that you particularly like? Or maybe it's a different way to universal health care that you were talking about. Maybe it's the Massachusetts model that you were part of implementing. If folks have forgotten, sometimes we call it Romney Care, right? But this was the 2006 law, which really hinged largely on that individual mandate, right? I mean, is that the way to go?
I think the individual mandate was a key piece. That there's some recent evidence that it wasn't as important as we initially thought. One of the remarkable things about the Affordable Care Act, which, as you say, Cal, was modeled on Massachusetts' attempt at health reform, is that even without the mandate, and that's really not in effect anymore as of 2019, the tax penalty has been zeroed out. Even without the mandate, it's actually proved fairly resistant. So it's been under attack and yet has been able to maintain – we've seen a little erosion in the last year or two, but has been able to maintain a pretty high rate of insurance where it's being implemented.
All right. So as I mentioned at the top, this is the Medicare for All umbrella covers a lot of things. But the specific plan that has that title is a bill filed or refiled, I should say, this year by Senator Bernie Sanders. And of course, he's been out on the campaign trail talking about the merits of it. And he was recently on CNN for a town hall style event where he said that, you know, there's a fundamental problem with the private insurance market that we have right now.
The function of the current healthcare system is not to provide quality care to all in a cost-effective way. The function of the current system is to make billions of dollars in profits for the insurance companies and the drug companies.
So how about that, John Kingsdale? What do you say to the senator there? He says that the private insurance model is sort of inherently corrupt because people are out for profit and not for good health care.
Well, I do think there's an issue of trust with insurers, with doctors, with hospitals and pharmaceutical companies. And every system, whether it's publicly, pure public or private for-profit, private nonprofit, has its advantages and disadvantages. I don't think, for example, we'd want to see all hospitals run by government or all pharmaceutical companies run by government because we value some of the innovation and, frankly, entrepreneurship in the private sector. I do think that insurance is one where there's so much of an issue of trust that there needs to be very strict government sort of framing of the market and oversight. We have that in Massachusetts. And I think that part of protecting and building on the Affordable Care Act is to take what has been a pretty strong intervention into the least functional part of the market, the individual non-employer part of the market, and to strengthen that and make sure that there's strong consumer protection built into the oversight of that. As I say, am I in love with insurance companies? No. Would Medicare for All be a disaster if we could get there? No. It has lots of attractive features to it. But the disruption of getting from here to there is, I think, people don't appreciate. You know, not only is it putting $2 trillion or more a year in from the private sector into federal taxes, which will create all sorts of winners and losers, very disruptive, it means taking some 16 million jobs and pretty much cutting the funding available for them. Because if you're going to fund through taxes a much more generous benefit package, as Senator Sanders has proposed, you're going to have to cut the payment rates for those services.
Yeah, let me just drill down on that a little bit, right? Because one of the advantages that people like who are in Medicare right now is that they pay less, but also Medicare reimburses less to those hospitals for care than private insurers typically do. So if everybody is basically under Medicare, that could be less money in the coffers of the hospitals and what happens to them. And you have some other concerns as well as I'm reading through your story. And one is about the bottleneck, or potential for a bottleneck, of health care for folks. In other words, you're going to bring a lot of new people, 20, maybe 30 million more people onto the insurance rolls. That's a good thing, but maybe that means longer wait times for people. What are you worried about there?
It's not just bringing on another 20 million. And as you say, if we give Medicare to undocumented aliens, it's 30 million. It's also making basically free all sorts of services for which there is some cost sharing now. And so I think we're going to see an increased demand. I mean,
so people would just use it more, in other words.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And some of that's legitimate and reasonable and desirable, some less so. But whether it's good or bad in and of itself, it's going to increase the demand on what is already in short supply, whether it's primary care or mental health and substance abuse caretakers or home care, whatever. It's going to increase that demand significantly, which maybe leads to a fairer way of rationing. I'm not saying there isn't economic rationing now. The problem is you're going to get losers and winners. You're going to get a lot of people who say, gee, we got to Medicare for all, and now I can't see my doctor. And that's going to create a backlash. And that potential of that is what opponents of just basic liberal reform are going to seize on in the name of undoing all the progress we've already made.
You know that some other folks would argue that there are already winners and losers within the healthcare system. I mean that, you know, certainly drug companies would be one of the big winners right now. They're under a lot of scrutiny from the president. And actually, this is one of those few bipartisan issues right now. I mean, in other words, what about that argument that, look, maybe the winners and losers just take a different form, but is it really all that different in the big picture?
Well, here's where I think you have to look at quantity, I mean, in a serious way. When we're talking about tax revenues of $3.3 trillion a year, federal tax revenues, and adding $2 to $3 trillion more to fund Medicare for all in a system which Medicare Trust Fund is supposed to go bankrupt in about 6 years just as it is. And this would not only improve Medicare for seniors but much more generous for everybody. You're talking about huge levels of disruption, tens of millions of people who will end up paying more in taxes than they currently pay or think they pay in premiums. So it's not just some people on the margin being disadvantaged. It is literally tens of millions of voters thinking, boy, I just got screwed in this deal. And that is a recipe for backlash, for revolt. So I would say if I was thinking seriously about how to get to Medicare for all, I would be focusing on how do I narrow the gap between where we are now and where I would ultimately want to get to. How do I make that far less disruptive? And so, I think there are a number of steps we could take.
Yeah, because it's the last thing. I mean, so then what do you propose in the short term then? Do you introduce a public option, which a lot of folks wanted in the ACA originally,
right,
didn't get it? Is that the sort of, you know, step toward a future Medicare for all?
Well, actually, I think Nancy Pelosi, the adult in the room in the House, is working on a number of reforms that would move in that direction. And that's a key one. In fact, think about who's paying in the individual market. It's really federal taxpayers. This is highly subsidized coverage. Why shouldn't those health plans have the same Medicare rates that Medicare now enjoys? Let's bring down the cost and the premiums that way.
That's John Kingsdale. He's a professor at the Boston University School of Public Health and the founding executive director of the Commonwealth Health Insurance Connector Authority, which helped make health insurance universally available in Massachusetts. John, thanks a lot for your time today.
Thank you, Cal.
Next week, we'll speak with a physician who supports Medicare for All. But in the short term, stay with us. There's more ahead. We're talking about how the NFL should handle Patriots owner Robert Kraft. And we'll take your calls. I'm Callum Borchers. This is Radio Boston.